Welcome back, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with Camille for another edition of Carry the G and MKE. Camille, I'm tired of coming in here talking to you about another Packers loss. We were about to get into it before we started recording, but I wanted to save it for the pod, so it's going to be raw. It's going to be emotional. I don't know how you were yesterday in the game, but man, there were some things broken in the studio yesterday while I was watching that contest.
I don't blame you. I've seen your rant that's going like viral now, which I showed my husband when he got home, and he was like, that sums it up. Like, I think you spoke for every Packers fan when you just let it go about this defense, because it doesn't make sense. I don't understand how you can be getting gashed this way in this zone defense over and over and over again, and you make not a adjustment.
Not one. And that's what's so frustrating. And look, I ain't proud of that moment, but it was very raw and very kind of pent up, right? Like over the course of the last three seasons with this defensive scheme and their approach. And when you do have a team like the Buccaneers, who very clearly were going to attack the middle of the field all day throughout, and they kept putting Godwin in the slot, like basically at the number three, closest to the line, you know, the offensive line. And just letting him go to work against Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker, who, you know, you can say whatever about their play in general, right? The fact that, I mean, Campbell has not looked right since coming back from injury. Walker, his first game back after injury. Like, they clearly stepped slow, what have you. Not as physical as you would like. I don't care if you had Ray Lewis in his prime out there. They kept taking advantage of the situation. And at no point did Joe Barry make any real concerted effort to adjust. And that, to me, is what's so damning. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he should be fired or whatever. There's three games left in the season. I'll be shocked if Matt makes a move at this point. But I don't think there's any way you can look at the body of work over the course of the last, I mean, especially this season, but the last two seasons, and say anything other than it's time for a change on defense.
And that's the part that gets me. Like, this is not new. It's just that we got an example of how it looks when everything is going really off the rails for this defense. Like, the defense hasn't been great since Joe Barry took over. It wasn't great before when we had Mike Pettine. And the Packers defense for years now has just been like this blob of individual talent that you look at and you're like, they should be better than what we are seeing. But as a collective, it's not gelling right. Like, it doesn't earl all the way there. And it's like, is it scheme? Is it how you're being coached? Is it the talent on the field? Is it the position the players are being put in? At this point, with it being not just a blip on the radar for this particular season, but something that's been a pattern, like, you have to look at the coach there. Like, I just don't understand.
Well, look across the field. Look at Todd Bowles, and he has guys down. Hell, he took one of the linebackers off the field voluntarily before the game. You know, who knows? I'm sure that's a whole story in the Tampa media area. But, like, they had guys who were banged up or not playing or whatever. So that's, like, the idea that, okay, yes, he's got some young guys at corner, or he's got a real mixed mash at safety. And, well, yeah, you got to make do. And that's the whole point of having a structure within your defense where guys can communicate and get themselves out of bad looks pre-snap, but they don't seem to have any of that. The idea of getting up to the line of scrimmage and, okay, here come the Bucs, they're five wide or they're spread out, and, oh, we better adjust, but there's none of that. And it feels like there's no mechanisms built into the defense to allow them to do that. And to me, again, 3 years into your program as a defensive coordinator, that's completely inexcusable. It goes back to the Preston Smith on Davante Adams debacle earlier this year where, oh, he's just got to survive the down. If your answer is you have to survive the down rather than implementing any kind of change to your system that allows your players to have some kind of ownership on the field, to me, that's a complete failure of coaching.
I could not agree more. And throughout Barry's tenure, like, we have saw that stopping the run has been a problem for this team for the last 3 years with him at the helm of our defense. And this season, looking at this game, let's just look at the Buccaneers game right now. Against the run, it's like, okay, all right, you did all right, I guess. I can say you did all right because of how poorly you did against the pass. You had Baker Mayfield looking like it was Tom Brady. And it's like, what are we doing? And it's not as if this defense is unfamiliar with Baker Mayfield. Like, this is a different system that he's in. But we saw him with Cleveland in 2021. We saw him with the Rams last year. Mm-hmm. Now we see him with Tampa Bay this year. Like, we know who Baker Mayfield is, and yet and still, the defense made it the easiest day in the world for Baker Mayfield. It wasn't like the throws he was making were super impressive. He might have one or two, but he was
Yeah, I mean, he ripped it, right? I mean, he did a nice job of trusting the design of every play. And, like, there were a few times, I can, like, probably count on one hand the number of times he couldn't really kind of fall back, look at his reads, and let it rip, like, in rhythm. There were a couple of times they made him second guess, and a few of those they got sacks. And that's the other thing. Like, this team, you talk about the run defense, they actually did do a nice job on early downs limiting the explosiveness of White, the running back, and getting them into second and long. The problem was is every second or third and long, they just gave it right back up. I mean, there were plenty of times where they held the initial kind of rush on first down to like 2 or 1 yard, but it didn't matter if it's second and 9 or second and 18 after a sack. They just let it rip, 20-yarder, back to first down. And that happened again and again and again. And to your point about Baker, it's like, yeah, he trusted. They had a really good plan, and it was clearly working. What blows my mind is like, oh, they have this type of plan. They are going to attack the middle of the field. We are never going to adjust to it. That, to me, is the damning point here. It's, yeah, it's Baker, and he's feeling it, and he's stroking it, and he's looking good. And unless you're getting a sack, your pass defense is absolutely, completely overwhelmed without any kind of adjustment. That's, yeah, again, that's the major frustration, where everyone in the ballpark can see what the offense is trying to do, has been doing, is going to do on the next play, and you have absolutely no way to counter it.
It's mad. The only word I can use to describe the defensive performance from Sunday is that it was maddening. Like, I
right.
I'm normally a pretty cool customer myself. I try not to get too worked up, but there I'm right. just like looking and I'm like yelling like, what are we doing? Why aren't we doing anything different? Because we've already seen this game plan is not working. And that's the biggest piece of it for me, where it's like, you see, it's not working. There is no adjustment here.
None. Zero. It's more of the same. And it's fine when the results are good, right? When the opponent makes a mistake or helps beat themselves, then we've got a shot. But if the opposing offense isn't making mistakes and is being able to, you know, pretty much do what they want plan-wise, then we're dead in the water. Let's flip it over to the offensive side of the ball because, man, the second half, Jordan Love came to life. And you saw the touchdown to Reed, I think, will be on the highlight reel all offseason, right? I mean, that is a beautiful throw. That's a dime. He's got to start faster, though. Like, he hit a couple throws early, but that miss to Reed in the end zone on fourth down, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal. And never mind, I think that should have been the third down call. But, like, that's a throw you got to make. Reed's breaking open. That's a touchdown. Just laid out on a plate for you. And this seems to be an ongoing thing with Love. And I know they talked about his footwork on the broadcast, and I think there's some validity to that. But, man, just make the throw. Like, that's something you should be able to do in your sleep. And, you know I always kind of make these comparisons, but it does remind me of Brett Favre early in his career where he got so hyped up at the beginning of games. I do think Jordan is a little kind of, I don't want to say too tense or too jacked up or what have you, but it's kind of clear now. You know, there's many games in a row where early on things are sailing on him, and once he settles down, he's money. So, to me, that's the one kind of nit to pick for Jordan Love, but again, a really promising performance from the young quarterback who looks like the guy they're probably going to be building around for these next couple of years.
It was. And actually, on that touchdown throw to Reed, I thought about you in the conversation we had last week when we were having the conversation about how he uses his legs and do you want to see him run more? And on that play,
he
had an opportunity to run, kept his eyes upfield, and threw a dot. And I was like, dang, this is just what me and Aaron were talking about. Like, this is it. But to your point about like the footwork and the arm accuracy, one thing that stood out to me is that Jordan Love has arm talent. He has a lot of arm
in
talent.
In spades, yes.
And I think
sometimes I think, though, that gets him in trouble.
That's exactly what I was going to say, where it's like he knows he can do it, and you see him do all of these off-schedule throws where he's throwing sidearm or he's jumping off one flight. Like, he can do it because he has the talent. And I think that sometimes because he knows he has the talent, it gets him off of his fundamentals, like that footwork.
Very much agreed.
You saw it again. When he airmailed it, you're just like, that's an easy one for you, Jordan. Like, don't make it more difficult on yourself than you need to. Just because you know you have the talent to do it, like, I love knowing he has that arm talent because when things break down in football, that's going to happen.
Yep.
It's nice to know you have a quarterback that can make those throws when things aren't perfect, when the footwork isn't working, so on and so forth. But when you have time, I would just love to see Jordan be like, slow down a little bit more, lean into those fundamentals, and, you know, just use that footwork properly.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, speaking of Reed, it was great to watch Reed and Dontavian Wicks go to work all afternoon. I mean, you talk about an exciting young wide receiving core. I mean, you throw in Christian Watson, and who do you, like, count on, you know, as far as if you're a defensive coordinator, who are you most afraid of? I mean, I think you'd probably say Watson, but Reed's going to kill you if you leave him singled up. And Wicks is just going to clean up underneath some of the possession stuff. The way he was running after the catch, after contact, I mean, that is a fun trio. And then you throw in Dobbs and all the tight ends, and, man, you could really be cooking with gas with this Packers offense. And that's what got me through the night, Camille, as far as my not trying to burn down the house about Joe Barry. You know, I'm trying to think long term. I'm trying to, like, look 30,000 feet, and I'm like, man – this offense, you remember, I think there's been photoshops and people making fun of the idea that this could possibly be Jordan Love and his receiving crew like Rodgers had on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in the day. But you can see it. The vision's there, yeah. Right? Like, that is the ideal, and I think that's where we're headed, because, damn, this wide receiving core, as young as they are, the idea that, oh, my God, there's still so much ahead of them, there's still so much for them to learn, that's incredibly exciting to me as a Packers fan.
Like, just like you said, that was what got me through this game, where it's like the defense was so poor. We know that. We know defense is why they lost the game. We know Joe Barry was terrible. We all, probably a majority of people, I won't speak for everybody, probably feel like Joe Barry should not return as defensive coordinator next year.
I think you might be onto something there, Camille.
You know what I mean? But but that offense, like, again, Jordan Love started off a little bit slow, but what you see with the skill positions, like, keep in mind too, that they were doing this performance with Aaron Jones on a snap count. Mm-hmm. He had the one good drive pretty much there where he was involved heavily, and then that was piddled out. Mm-hmm. And you look at what the wide receivers were able to do. They were down in the game, so the Buccaneers knew second half, like, they're going to be throwing the ball here. And these receivers, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, they were coming into the game banged up. They weren't avoiding contact, though.
No,
like, they are
in any way.
Dogs.
They're fighting through it. Amazing. Just amazing.
Some dogs. And you love to see that in that room. Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, Tucker Kraft, who might be the most improved player this season.
I don't think there's a question. Compared to where he was this summer, zero doubt.
Like, so you think about Kraft, you think about when Musgrave comes back, and we also know that tight end is one of the hardest positions to learn as a rookie coming into the league.
No doubt.
And I keep thinking, I know we have 3 games left, so I'm not overlooking it, because once football is over, it's a very sad time.
It's a wasteland, man.
It's a long slog. But I am really excited thinking about what this team might look like next year. And I know that's not people want to think about. The Packers still technically have a playoff shot this season. But
playoffs.
Again, to me, it's been a development year, and I'm really excited about the development of the offense, of the wide receivers, of the pass catchers, of Jordan Love, and what that might look like as they continue to have more time to grow and work together.
It's interesting, too, because you look at the offensive side of the ball and what we're talking about skill position-wise, right? You mentioned Aaron Jones and the fact that, he's on a snap count there, very much not involved after that opening drive, save for a handful of times. But, man, it's getting pretty apparent that that's the one position they probably address this offseason. Like, with Jones hitting 29, unable to stay on the field, A.J. Dillon coming in the last year of his deal. I think it makes sense to bring Dillon back, but I won't be surprised if they use some draft capital there. Probably not early, but probably another day 3 pick, much like Jones was. And, you know, start to transition to a new backfield because, I mean, look – the team is going to rise and fall on Jordan Love. Like, that's long-term, that is their plan. There's zero doubt about it. But to be able to get some kind of game changer out of the backfield, I mean, look no further than that Buffalo game yesterday with Cook and his ability against the Cowboys. I mean, that's a game changer right there. And I mean, for all the greatness that Aaron Jones has provided over the course of his Packers career, it's at the tail end and it's time probably to look to the future there. So I think that's, one thing that kind of really crept into my mind watching this game where, all the other pieces are in place, but sure feels like the running back position is going to be in major flux.
Yeah, it absolutely should be. And getting more speed at that position would be really interesting as well, just given how this offense is starting to trend now with that speed aspect.
Yes.
So having a really speedy back, I think, could be really fun to watch in Matt LaFleur's offense. And,
well, and to get him involved in the passing game more, too.
Yes.
I mean, look at all the vertical stuff. I mean, I think actually the Packers tried to run some of it, just Bucks have a much better defense. But, I mean, the ability to get your running back out of the backfield and then use him vertically, which we've seen Jones do in the past, right? But there's just no element like that right now in the Packers offense. And I think that would, to your point, add even more of a kind of playmaking level to a team that is clearly finding, you know, some success through the air. Well, this gives you an even bigger headache to worry about if you're a defensive coordinator.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing, what they do with the backfield this upcoming season. And again, it's nothing against Aaron Jones. Jones has been outstanding. Packers during legend. His time as a Green Bay Packer, he carries the G. We've seen him take pay cuts. We've seen him do what he needs to do to be able to stay here in Green Bay because he loves this team. Even him being on the field this week isn't
it's a minor miracle considering what it looked like that Chargers game when he went out, no doubt.
Exactly. So it's one of those things like Aaron Jones, when fully healthy, I love Aaron Jones. But like you mentioned, it's just been one of those years where it's been hard to keep him on the field. We've seen it before, just getting nicked up. And there's a running back. Like, that's a very it's a
young man's
position
game.
That's hard on the body.
Young man's game, no doubt.
Yeah. So I definitely would love to see some more speed in that backfield. But I'm interested to see how this season finishes up with Aaron Jones. I'm going to be curious to see how he came out of this game as well, right, on that snap count, and see if he gets more snaps next week or if we're going to still kind of stay in the same alignment where – and one more thing about the run game that before I forget this piece.
Yeah.
With Aaron Jones being on the snap count, with no A.J. Dillon, Kenyon Drake, like, it wasn't great. And I didn't necessarily expect it to be. He just got here. Right. So, like, that is what it is. But, like, they just didn't have many options to lean on in the run game this past week.
Patrick I mean, Drake got a handful of snaps, right? And he only got the ball once. And on that one occasion, they almost put the ball on the carpet. Yeah. Nice job by him palming it and bringing it in to save that. But, yeah, that doesn't engender confidence if you're Matt LaFleur, if you're Ben Sirmans calling, like, who should be in the game.
Right.
And I think Taylor's serviceable. He's there mostly for his work in the passing game and pass pro in particular. But, you know, he's not going to give you any kind of, like, real snaps when it comes to the run game. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think they were pretty limited with what they were able to do just because of who the bodies were back there.
Yeah.
But look, hey, who knows? Maybe they spend the week drilling Drake and he's able to give them a little bit more against the Panthers, the Panthers, the worst team in the league, pulled out a big win against Atlanta, now feeling all confident. And here come the Green Bay Packers. And don't think for a second that Joe Barry can't go down to Carolina and make this suspect young quarterback look like a dynamo. I mean, that has been his specialty, as far as making journeymen or rookie quarterbacks look serviceable to good. It's not going to surprise me at all.
You know how Suge Knight back in the 90s was talking about somebody, if you don't want nobody dancing in your video, come on over to death row. Like, that's Joe Barry's, like, hey, your quarterback looking messed up, you need a bounce back game, come over here and play this Green Bay defense. We'll get you right. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
So good. That's so on point.
It's just over and over and over at this point. Joe Barry is like some bizarro world Suge Knight getting quarterbacks right all over the league. I don't know, Aaron.
That's incredible. I mean, you're not wrong. It's like impossible to deny it. But this is my point. Like, would it surprise anybody? No. Should they go down to Carolina, take care of business, get back on the winning track? Yeah,
sure.
They absolutely should take care of business against this team. I don't care what the injury situation is. I don't care who's, like, playing where on the defense. This is a team they should beat. And I don't even say dominate. I know it's the NFL any given Sunday, blah, blah, blah. This is a team they should beat. Mm-hmm. But it won't surprise me if they don't. Not even
same
in the slightest.
Boat. Same boat. I'm just wanting to look. What's the most yards that Bryce Young has thrown this season? Let's see.
Oh, what, 250? He ain't hit through. I don't think he's hit 300.
235 is his season high.
There you go.
Let's keep that number in mind this Sunday. 235.
Camille, why are you going to make me all depressed? You know he's going to hit.
I'm sorry.
247 is the high on the season. So almost 250, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to go, they give up 275 and two touchdowns. That's my guess.
And a win?
That'll be my guess. I hope so. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Brian Burns turns it on and sacks Love a couple times, and blows it all up.
This is
the problem with the 2023 Packers. It's like, I want to get excited. I love the promise. I'm right there with you as far as, oh, next season's going to be, you're going to be burning defenses down with his offense. But then it's like the defense is such a huge question mark, both for the remainder of this season. And I mean, if and when, and hopefully when, Joe Barry is dismissed, like, who are you looking at? Who are you bringing in? What scheme are you looking at? Because don't forget, one of the reasons that Joe got hired is because Matt wanted to run this scheme. This scheme that drives me insane. The same scheme that Staley just ran himself out of Los Angeles with the Chargers, you know? So is it going to be a complete overhaul, mindset-wise, scheme-wise, play style-wise? To me, it has to be. But who knows? Like, here's the other fear. So let's say they do go down and shut down the nice young upstart quarterback, and they get 3 wins in a row, and the defense looks serviceable to good doing it. Does that save Joe's job?
Oh, man. That, I, whew. God, listen.
Camille, this was breaking my brain last night.
Matt LaFleur said he had to watch the film.
Yes, he did.
He didn't, you know, he didn't give a big vote of confidence saying, like, hey, that's our guy. We're sticking, I'm sticking beside him.
No matter what.
Let me take a look at this film. We're gonna see, because we need to find solutions. And maybe with some soul searching and some film study, he realizes that the solution doesn't lie in Joe Barry. Maybe he realizes the solution doesn't even lie in this particular scheme, and that maybe he should open his mind up and seek something different next time around. But only time will tell.
What is your opinion? Because I've seen this both ways on Twitter this morning. Do you think, okay, yeah, fire him? Because A, it sends a message. B, it might light a spark on these last 3 games. Maybe you get some valuable time with some of these young players in a new kind of play style, mindset, what have you. Or is it, look, you've got 3 games left. What's a new coordinator or play caller going to do? You're still going to be running the same scheme. Just let it ride.
I think a little bit about Buffalo earlier this season when they let their offensive coordinator go, and it was like, the offense has actually been all right. Like, we had a bad game, and it was really a scapegoat firing. Like, hey, we got to do something here. We can't get rid of all these players.
You know, the offensive coordinator is definitely responsible for 12 men on the field on the attempted field goal kick there.
It's like we got to do something. And I don't know who in-house you would be like, hey, this is the guy who I really could think could take the reins and run with this. But at this point, I think the guys have seen how this has gone. You're still in playoff contention, technically. Like, there is still something to play for here. Will it energize the locker room to get rid of Joe Barry? Like, I can't say yes or no, but in my opinion, like, I think that I would just clean house. Like, we know it's coming. So let's not delay it, and let's just see what happens.
I mean, that's kind of what Murphy did when he fired McCarthy, right?
Right.
Like, everyone thought it was pretty much a foregone conclusion, but I, at the time, thought, oh, no, they'll let him stick around for those final 4 games, and literally at the bar getting the alert, oh, Mike McCarthy's been fired. I had to race home and do a video. But I kind of understand both sides of it. I doubt Matt makes a move in season. Yeah. Now, we could get done with this recording. We could have an alert like, oh, Joe Barry's been fired. That wouldn't surprise me, but I doubt it happens. I think Matt will probably let him coach these last 3 games and then kind of look at the totality of the season and make a move. The other thing I did want to touch on before we go is the Jair Alexander situation, because I've seen lots of speculation and lots of people talking about it, and I wanted to get your opinion, because I understand that, like, it's frustrating, especially after Jair was handed a sizable contract, that he hasn't been out there. It was 6 weeks now, and he's dealing with that shoulder, and he's been limited as a participant in practice. He has been practicing, but as a limited participant for the last 2 weeks, right? Like, he's been out there for every practice, but he hasn't played. And I know there were eagle-eyed attempted conspiracy theorists before the game saying that, oh, everyone's out there but Jair. But then you could clearly see Jair on the sideline on the broadcast copy during literally the first drive of the game. So Jair was clearly with the team, doing his thing. But would you buy that Jair is, like, biding his time because he doesn't want to be out there in Joe's system? Because I've heard that kind of floated a lot. And at first I'm like so dismissive of that. It's like, no, he wants to be out there. He wants to play ball. But then I'm like, Jair is a different cat. And it actually kind of wouldn't surprise me if that's the thinking behind it from Jair's standpoint. I just wanted to get how you view it.
Yeah, Ja's definitely a different type of cat. And I've said it before, with cornerbacks, they are going to be a very strange bunch, because you have to be. Like, cornerbacks have to be. You have to have a short memory. You have to have a crazy amount of confidence within yourself, in your talent, in your ability. And we know Ja has that. in boatloads. Like, he is not shy about talking about how great he thinks he is. He's not shy talking about what he thinks he can do. And he's also not shy about his love for playing football. Like, he enjoys being on the field. And it's one of those questions where a lot of times you're like, hey, is a 60% version of me better than what the next guy can bring up to the table? And sometimes the answer is going to be, yeah, like, I can still perform here. But whatever this shoulder injury is with him, and we've seen him before, like, Ja's already not the best tackler.
The physical guy we saw prior to the shoulder injury against Pittsburgh a couple years
ago. Exactly. Yes. So it's like, you don't really want to put him in a situation where he's starting to second guess what he can or can't do while he's on the field. So for me, as long as he is saying like, hey, the team, I'm not in a place where I can play, I'm going to trust his word on that, because I know that he is going to be on the field when he feels like he can provide more than what anyone else can, and when he's able to do so. So I don't take too much stock into that. Like, Ja loves to play football.
That's my thing, right? Like, you're only in the league for so long. Why exactly. would you purposely be throwing games away? Like, I know he got paid, but I think he loves ball, and I think he wants to be out there. That's just me. This is where I'm at.
Same.
Conspiracy theorists will have a field day regardless. So, all right, we'll go down to Carolina on Christmas Eve and get a win, because, damn it, if this team ruins my Christmas, I got so worried about them ruining my Thanksgiving, and I thought, Christmas, no problem. They're going to take care of that. But now I'm at a point where, okay, they surprised me, and I had a lovely Thanksgiving, but now I'm worried about this team ruining my Christmas, Camille, and I can't have it. Can't have this team ruining my holidays. No.
I hope they take care of business. The Bucks just had the 22 loss Pistons coming to town on Saturday, and I was like, please, Bucks. Like, I've seen Wisconsin Ports do this a few times where we're on the wrong end of things.
Yep.
Don't be the team that the Pistons like fix this streak against.
Yep.
The Bucks took care of business. I'm hoping
you gotta do.
That the Packers can also take care of business on Christmas Eve with the team that they should defeat.
That's 1,000% correct. All right. We're going to get out of here. Camille, let the people know where they can find you online for all your great coverage.
Absolutely. If you want more football talk, some NBA, some pro wrestling talk, you can catch me on Technical File Podcast, TECKNICAL. We release a new episode every Wednesday. We record live on our YouTube page every Tuesday. So come join us. Be part of the show. We read comments live on air, interact with folks. So come be part of that. And you can also catch me Monday through Friday on Locked On Bucks, talking all things Milwaukee Bucks basketball.
My Bucks. You got Bucks. Giannis with a big milestone last night.
Another one. And he got his game ball.
Finally. Man, the Pacers. Man. God, I hope we see them. I hope we see them in the playoffs. All right. That's a whole other podcast. Camille, can't thank you enough. Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.